Totally Hockey at the 2019 IIHF Ice Hockey World Championship, Day 5. Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining us on the Totally Hockey Show. And welcome today to Swiss journalist Klaus Zog. Hello, Klaus.
Welcome, welcome.
I thought that was my cue to clap.
Right.
Yeah, we'd give an applause.
Delighted you can be with us. A lot to talk about from the Swiss point of view. And returning to the Totally Hockey Show, Tessa Bonhomme.
Thanks for having me back.
No, delighted you could be with us. Look at this, topping the two groups,
yeah.
Switzerland and Germany. Klaus.
Oh, we are not surprised. There is a new ice age. Switzerland is now joining the titans of international hockey, and that's the place we want to be, top.
Absolutely. Let's see if you can stay there. So Germany and Switzerland off to fantastic starts to this tournament. For other teams today, the focus was shifting to staying alive, and we'll discuss how they're faring at that in the course of the show. First, though, let's get the story of the day. Group A and Team GB set a record. It was for Denmark's biggest World Cup win ever, 9-0.
Here's a shorthanded chance now for Morten Paulsen, moves in, scores! Oh.
While elsewhere, Germany notched up their third straight victory, 4-1 over France. In Group B in Bratislava, Italy's Andreas Bernard was pulling off the biggest net miracle since the one with the loaves and the fishes.
Are you kidding me? Andreas Bernard! What a fight to the end. This one's going over top of him. He back cuffs it. Look at this. Get out of here.
But Latvia eventually wore the Azzurri down 3-0. And in the evening game, G-Swiss, the Helvetians grabbing their third straight victory, beating Austria 4-0. Remember, you can get highlights and more of all the games we'll be talking about on the fabulous IIHF app. And there's goals as they go in throughout the day on our social channels, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and YouTube. So let's begin with the evening game in Bratislava, Switzerland's 4-0 win over Austria, which began in explosive fashion. Fiala with yet another goal, Klaus.
Yeah, Fiala is one of the guys able to make the difference in every game, and that's the kind of players we absolutely need in this tournament.
Love it when a bottle explodes off the roof of the net.
Honestly, there are so many great pictures in this game. That was one of them. As a kid, when you grow up, you dream of doing that, knocking a water bottle off the back of the net and having it fly up like that. That one flew so high. And the other one was when the puck got wedged in between the visor and the nose of, who was it? Do you remember?
Diaz.
Yeah,
the captain.
It didn't hurt him. It just wedged there. It looked like a pirate for a hot minute.
I think he should have run into the opponent net. I'm not sure
would counted.
Would count.
It would have counted, absolutely.
Would be very interesting for the rule guys.
Yeah, but just on Fiala, fantastic hockey player, and the fact that, you know, Nico Hischier's got to look for him, and myself and a bunch of my friends that we watch all these games, we make little friendly bets on the side to see who's going to score first, and Fiala's always the first one that everybody picks when the Swiss are playing, and for good reason.
Right. Who did you have this evening, Tessa?
This evening I had Nico Hischier. Okay. I tried to bargain for half since he did assist on the goal, and it was a beautiful pass, but unfortunately it's the goal scorer that wins. So
Klaus, typically you're a cautious nation, and a lot of the Swiss people we've been talking to have been unwilling to suggest a repeat of last year's exploits from this Switzerland team. You seem pretty confident. Certainly your side have yet to put a foot wrong.
I think the Swiss team is even better than last year's, and you see a difference. You know, even in the beginning of last year's tournament, the Swiss would have run and gun and run and gun. But today you saw the Swiss a little bit arrogant, like the big teams, but calm, waiting for a chance. And there was not a second you could doubt who will win that game. That was for sure Switzerland would finally win that game. And they were so calm, you couldn't see that in the past from a Swiss team so early in the tournament.
It was a narrow scoreline for a long time, but as you say, they only really looked like one team threatening.
And in speaking with Roman Josi at the end of the game, he said, you know, they had 45 shots on net. And for a while, the game was very, very close, just 2-0. And he said, you know, the team did a very good job in not getting distracted, not getting frustrated, and really sticking with their game plan. So to your point, It almost seems like they do now have confidence in that game plan. Now, albeit, yes, they are sitting atop of the group, but let's be honest, they still, after Norway, they have Sweden, Russia, and Czech Republic. So that's when this game plan is really going to be put to test. And their fans are relatively loud. However, you're going to come up against a Russian crowd as well against a Czech crowd, who are, I think, one of the most loud groups in this Group B. Outside of Latvia, I feel like Latvia is really pushing to be that loud group. But right now, I think the Czechs have it. So it's going to be an amazing four games to watch left for this group.
With those fixtures in prospect, how concerned are you? Is there anything that you worry about from the Swiss point of view?
No, absolutely not. And if you watch the Swiss, it's really like a big team because there are many players, they haven't played their best hockey yet. And one of them is Roman Josi. I haven't seen him play his best hockey. He's maybe at 60% for the moment. So he will be there when the real hockey begins, when the intensity is there, when the big games are coming against the Russians, the Swedes and the Czechs. There we will see the real Roman Josi.
The other goals this evening from Kuryshev on the breakaway and Andrigetto at the end when Switzerland had the two-man advantage, but Roman Josi with the second goal, and that looked like a lot more than 60%, that point blast.
Yeah, I mean, he played over 9 minutes in the second period, so I don't know if that's the coaches trying to get him going or get him a little bit more extra ice time to get his legs under him. But my main concern with this team, or I don't even know if it is a concern because they've both played so great, is goaltending. You know, which way are they going to go? Giannone's played, and this was Berra's second game, and obviously this was a big game for the team, so they have confidence in them. So I think it's, you know, a battle of the goaltenders in a sense. And I know Switzerland did this last year, and they ended up going with Giannone last year, which worked out very well for them. It'll be interesting to see what happens this year and who actually takes the torch and runs with it for this club.
It all comes down to the quarterfinal game for Switzerland. And the big question is, will they have the harder goalie then? So that will be the most difficult question for the coach. Who is then hotter, Berra or Giannone? They were both great, so maybe Patrick Fischer will just flip a coin then.
Well, speaking of goalies, meanwhile, the other game in Group B earlier on in Bratislava finished Italy 0, Latvia 3, and it featured a pretty extraordinary performance from the Italian netminder, Andres Bernard. Coming into this, Italy had been so bad, losing 9-0 and 8-0, that betting was actually suspended on over 5 goals in this one.
Wow.
But as it turned out, they hadn't reckoned with Bernard, who was returning to the Italian net for this game. He faced 64 shots. He saved all but 2 of them. Latvia had 38 shots before they finally put one past him, and he received a standing ovation from the mostly Latvian crowd at the end of the game, after which he told us about his day's work.
I just kept on talking to myself, you know, my mindset was like, take the next save, take the next shot. And we were talking to the goalie coach yesterday that I don't care if it's 100 shot or 20 shots, you know, just next one, next one, next one.
Right. Dino Zoff, Gigi Buffon, this is an incredible Italian goalkeeping performance.
Thank you. I'm really proud that you told those names and then my name, so.
Excellent. And now, as a goalkeeper, as a guy who's grown up playing, seeing some of the greats in the world, does it fill you with excitement or fear, the idea of playing the likes of Kucherov, Ovechkin, etc. in the next game?
No, it's excitement. Like, it's a dream to play against those guys, you know. Like, it's a dream for every guy, for every boy, to play in the NHL, and I think that's an NHL game for us, and we just have to go out there and have fun and enjoy the night.
You're listening to the Totally Ice Hockey Show with James Richardson.
Tessa, an amazing performance.
I mean, at one point in the game where he had made a save and the puck rolled, he was at the left side of his crease, and the puck rolled up over his shoulder, and he literally swung his arm backward. I'm pretty sure his arm bent the wrong way.
Right, it's
and
behind his back.
He batted it out of midair to make a save. It was Pekka-Rinne style, Carey Price style. Like, it was, you know, top-level goaltending save, and it just goes to show that he had no quit.
Let's be real. This is goalies Disneyland. There is absolutely no pressure for those guys. So they can just enjoy the game and stop the pucks, and it doesn't matter if they let in 10 or 12 or 2. That's Disneyland for the goalies. No pressure at all.
It's funny that you say that, because there was a moment in the third period which I really enjoyed where Andres, he throws his stick to try and block a shot. And then he's talking to his teammate, asking them to pass the stick over, and he just gets it back in time to turn around and basically palm a one-timer from the Latvians. He looked looked so calm. But I guess, as you say, when your team's losing like that, if you keep it single figures, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, and you have to see the talents. This is an opera team. I think it's the slowest team I have seen the last 25 years in this tournament. So I would like to be the goalie there. I think I would make a good show for the fans.
Excellent.
Being in the net for such a team.
And goalies are always a different breed, right? They're known to be a little bit of a different breed. So they always want those tough games. They want to be in those positions to be a hero, to make all those saves. And again, they're playing against the best players in the world. So what a dream come true for them.
Latvia, though, they are the team that pick up three big points after losing previously to the Swiss in a pretty tense game. How happy will Coach Bob Hartley be with their performance, with the finishing there? Or was it just one of those days, do you think?
I think he would be, of course, he's not happy because he lost against Switzerland, but this is a typical Bob Hartley team. Bob Hartley is always able to bring in discipline, to bring in a game plan, to bring in calmness. And this was a great Latvian team and was really coached by one of the greatest coaches here in the tournament.
They are currently tied with Switzerland and the Czech Republic, 3 points behind Russia and Switzerland, who are on maximum points, with Austria, Norway and Italy still on 0 points, battling to avoid dropping down. Group A, meanwhile, in Košice earlier today, Great Britain taking on Denmark. And in an interesting reversal, it was the Danish that had the Brits for breakfast with a whopping 9-0 win. To get more on that and tonight's game over to the East, let's now hear from Seth Bennett. Seth, let's begin with the Danes against Great Britain. Denmark woke up and they're looking pretty good.
Speaking to their journalists before the game, they predicted that this was a game where Denmark would show their quarterfinal credentials, and they anticipated there was going to be a scoreline that would be fairly favourable. They wanted to run up the score and look good in doing so. I looked at him and said, really? I said, I think it's going to be a really tight game. I've spent the rest of the day trying to hide from that journalist because I feel a little bit embarrassed that he hit the nail right on the head and I got it massively wrong. Denmark were really good. They came out and played very well. They scored 4 power play goals in the game. They went 4 for 5 on the power play, scored a shorthanded goal. They were just electric. And Great Britain were a little bit like heavyweight boxers that walked onto one in the first round and then spent the rest of the night wondering what room they were in and what the heck else was going on. It was a tough night in the office for them. They were nowhere near what they played in the Germany game or even in the Canada game just a couple of nights ago.
Britain looking a little bit like a team that 2 years ago were in Division 1 Group B, really. But the Danes with their biggest scoreline ever in World Championship hockey.
Yeah, they were electric. They did so many good things throughout the whole of the game that left GB in a difficult position. I mean, one of the things that you look at the teams in this tournament that they do is they use every inch of the ice, particularly the width. And that was one of the things that Great Britain really struggled to deal with. Of course, there's a lot of quality now in that Danish team, and things have changed a lot in Danish hockey in the last 15 years or so. They look really good, and when you look in the KHL now, when you look at the DEL now, you see more and more of these Danish players that are starting to play more prominent roles, and tonight they showed just what they were capable of. It was a really good performance from them.
From a British perspective, what's the danger now in terms of confidence and morale, which maybe was already weakened by that Canada result, particularly with the United States coming up next?
Well, it's scary, isn't it? I mean, $80 million plus for that roster. And you look at the £500,000, £600,000 that you could attribute to the British team, that there is a massive gulf there. And there is a concern because when you go USA, Finland and Slovakia back to back to back, and now you've got to play a game against France and win to save your lives, if the results play out as most people would expect, it's a huge ask because what can you do? I had a conversation with one of the coaches and said, you know, could you play a slightly more conservative game against the likes of USA, Finland and Slovakia? He said, yeah, but if we take away the middle of the ice from these guys, we're going to have to block a lot of shots. If we're going to block a lot of shots, we're probably going to pick up some injuries, which is going to hurt us for the France game. So you're almost damned if you do and you're damned if you don't at this stage. From a British perspective, what they do have to do is find a way to score some goals. One goal in 3 games is not going to be the kind of record you want to take into that fixture on Monday. So they have to wake up the power play. They've got to find a way to get more pucks in on net. And the other thing they've got to do more than anything else They've got to win some face-offs, because right now they're running about 33% in the tournament. And if every time the game restarts, 7 out of 10 times you're throwing the puck to the other team, you're going to find it tough every single night.
The one bit of good news was that France got beaten by Germany from a British perspective. Obviously, not such good news for the French. Tell us about Germany's performance, and are they worthy leaders of Group A?
No, not really. If I'm being honest, I thought France were really good, particularly in the first 10 minutes of the game. France came out and they went at Germany hard. And Germany had to stand there and they had to take their licks and really hang on in the game. As the game wore on, Germany really started to take a little bit more control over it. And eventually they got an empty netter at the end, which just ever so slightly exaggerates the scoreline. Their quality showed through for the Germans. You know, there's no doubt about that. They have some really, really good players. You know, on the power play, they remain very, very good. But France have got an awful lot going for them. One thing we should mention, though, the German goalie, Grubauer, who just arrived from Colorado, he started the game this evening. He didn't finish the game. I don't know exactly what happened to him. But midway through the game, he took off and disappeared into the penalty box, down the steps into the locker room area, and didn't reappear from what I saw. So that will be a little bit of a concern. He's only just arrived in the country. He was playing, making his first start for the Germans. And he's somebody, if they're going to go deep into this tournament, he's somebody that is going to have to go very, very well for them, because he's a high caliber goaltender.
Seth Bennett there of the BBC. Germany measured scoreline so far, but they're getting the wins and a beautiful breakaway move on the opening goal to take the lead against the France. Moritz Seider there with a wonderful move. It leaves that scoreline. Germany top of the group, as we mentioned.
The Germans, like the Swiss, have a ton of tough games remaining. Slovakia, Canada, USA, Finland. The Grubauer issue to me was huge, and I raised my eyebrows when I saw that he was in, just because as a player, when you fly over, obviously you're dehydrated, you're a little tight. There's warm-ups and stretches you could do. You're not being as athletic and flexible as a goaltender. So in my eyes, I kind of raised my eyebrows. I was like, maybe give the guy a couple days to get his feet under him and to get rehydrated and to get back into the groove and feeling a little bit like himself. So to have him not come out after, one or two periods of play, wasn't necessarily surprising, but definitely concerning to me, in a sense that, you know, there might have been an injury there that could have been avoided, whether it's a groin or a knee or something like that. But nonetheless, they're all adults and they make their own decisions. And now Germany's going to have to live with whatever comes out of that.
All right. It's described as a muscle tweak, but no further information. Germany top of the group, ahead of Finland by 2 points. Canada and Denmark currently occupying the other quarterfinal positions, with the USA just behind in fifth. So that's Tuesday's action then in the Ice Hockey World Championship. Very shortly, we'll have a quick check on the fixtures coming up on Wednesday. Before we look ahead, though, let's enjoy another of our occasional looks back, a Slovak throwback, if you will, as Lukas Aykroyd, who's attending his 20th consecutive World Championship, picks out some of his favourite bits. Today, he takes us to far-off 2004 and the not-so-far-off Czech Republic.
In 2004, the World Championship was right next door to where we are now, in the Czech Republic in Prague, and it was one of the great World Championships I've attended, one of the best World Championships. Everybody there was fully primed for the Czech Republic to take home the gold medal. They had assembled a stacked roster headlined by Jaromír Jágr for home ice. And then along came Andy Roach. Now, Andy Roach was by no means a household name. He was an American defenseman who spent the majority of his playing career in Germany. But the U.S. coaching staff heading into the quarterfinals against the Czech Republic was aware that Andy Roach had some very special shootout moves in his arsenal. So when the Americans and the Czechs ended up in a shootout in that game, I'm sure that the majority of the people at the arena in Prague were asking, who is this guy? Why would they put him out there in this critical situation? Andy Roach came in on Tomas Vokoun, who was close to the peak of his powers at that time with the Czech Republic, and basically deked him out of his jock strap and put the puck in the net. And it was like a funeral in Prague. Honestly, they had just come off smacking the Canadians, 6-2, looked like they were in cruise control. Nobody expected this, and it was a great moment.
jossa puolustaja tulee lautamaan. Ja Rhodesin lyhyen terävä tarjoituksen ja hän vie kiekon maaliin. Andy Rhodes vie kiekon maaliin loistavien harhautusten päätteeksi.
The shootout is polarizing. It's controversial. Not everyone likes seeing a metal game decided that way. And this year we are going to be moving to a full sudden death format with no shootouts in the gold medal game. But I enjoy the artistry of the shootout when somebody pulls off a move as cool and as complex as Andy Roach did.
Day six in Bratislava, Switzerland take on Norway, and it could be a big day for Italy, St. Bernard, as the Azzurri face Russia. In Košice, Great Britain attempt to bounce back against USA, potentially needing some extra space on the scoreboard there. And Germany take on Slovakia in a big battle for the playoff positions. Let's talk a little bit about Slovakia. They began this tournament as hosts, but unfancied outsiders for the medal positions. Last Friday, that began to change a little bit when they faced the United States and beat them 4-1.
He shoots, scores! Kristoff snaps it home, and Slovakia leads by three.
It was beautiful. It was it gave me goosebumps, and especially even the anthem. You know, everybody singing the anthem. It's just it's an amazing thing. Hockey is a humongous sport here in Slovakia. We have a small nation of about 5.5 million people, and you know, everybody's a fan. So. To be able to play the World Championships here in our home country is something truly special.
David Bondra, son of the Washington Capitals legend Peter Bondra there. Well, the home fans were dreaming, but the next two games have seen their side narrowly beaten. Saturday by the Kapu Kakko show.
Mikola drops it back, score! Kapu Kakko has struck again, and the Finns have the lead.
And then on Sunday, right on the buzzer, by the world number ones, Canada.
Has a look at the clock. Feeds it back to Shabbat. Wait, feeds, Stone shoots, scores! Mark Stone with 2 seconds left! Scores the power play and Canada leads 6-5!
Well, Sunday night, players were smashing sticks in frustration and there was fury from the fans. But how is the mood now? We talked to Thomas Prokop of Denik Sport.
I think in the team, it's mood okay. I'm sure that they take the good things from the game because they still think they played great, minimum in the offensive zone. They scored 5 goals. It's a big thing. I think that in our history, we don't score 5 goals against Canada on big tournament like a World Championship or Olympic Games. They are maybe a little bit unlucky that it's happened on the end of the game that they lose all the points. But I still hope and think that the mood will be okay.
Frustrating, though, for the team to be 2-0 up against Canada and then 4-2 up. What do you think went wrong?
The crowd gives the guys a lot of energy and they play an offensive game. They scored 2 goals, then they were up 4-2. And it looked like they think that they can score more goals and then they forget to defend. They need more tactics and these kind of things in this part of the game. Because it was very, very offensive. And, you know, Canada has a group of players from NHL and they know how to score goals and these kind of things when it's skating all from all around the place. It's good for them, but it's not very good for the opponent team. Opponent team has to play better defense. They have to calm down. This is the biggest thing. They have to calm down and try to play like they played in the first game against USA. When they played great defense, they forecheck a lot, they backcheck a lot, and then the goalie was very good and did these kind of things. It's not good when we start to play very offensive because from then you can do some mistakes and can happen like this that you are up 2-0 or 4-2 and you still lose a game.
Okay. Well, the good news is that, as you mentioned, you have played well in every game so far. So with Finland and Canada and the United States currently looking likely to make the quarterfinals, the last place could be down to yourselves and Germany, who you're facing next.
I think it's the most important game in the group. When I was speaking with my colleague journalist, we said that tomorrow is the small quarterfinal for the Slovakia team. They have to win this game because this will be, I think, the main game for the quarterfinals and for the coming up from the group. It will be very tough, and I think it will be key for the going from the group.
What do you think of this idea that Slovakia have almost been victims of their own success?
I mean, it happens, right? You get a couple of good games under your belt, and or your first good game under your belt, and the team all of a sudden believes that what they're doing is right, which it was, obviously. They got the win, but you have to continue to stick with your game plan. And, you know, that's what successful teams do, whether they're in a tight game or whether it's a blowout, they make sure that they stick to their game plan and that they don't deviate. And, you know, you saw that when they played against Team Canada. They gave up the lead twice, almost three times. They had a goal disallowed. Nonetheless, they were up 2-0, allowed Canada back in the game to tie it 2-2. Then they went up 4-2 and allowed Canada back in the game. Now, obviously, Team Canada is going to be a team that's not going to back down and is just going to keep coming at you in waves. And for Slovakia, I feel like you have to be prepared for that. And the one thing that is so cliche, and everybody says it, is defense wins championships. And if your goaltender's not on and you don't have good defense, chances are you're not going to go far and you're not going to do well. They put up a really good fight. They should be proud of their efforts, but there are still a lot of learning lessons that they can take from that game.
You know, it's some kind of the legendary Ralph Kruger, former national team coach, former coach in Edmonton, once created the expression home ice handicap. And I think that that's for the Slovaks. You know, you have to control the emotions. And if you had a hometown crowd, such electric energy crowd, then it's hard to stick to the game plan, to control the emotions, to stay cool. And that will be their problem. Stay cool. Follow the game plan. Because when you play hockey with too much emotions, you will run into a wall.
It's a very interesting roster they have, though. There's so much talent in there.
It's another question of talent. They have the talent, but talent doesn't beat discipline, calmness, and organization in hockey. You need both talent and calmness.
We shall see how they get on then, because that's a huge game coming up for the Slovak side tomorrow against Germany, and potentially decisive for the playoff places.
And it's not too far off that Germany had that home crowd handicap in Cologne, right? And they knew how to use it to their advantage, and they did for the most part in that tournament. So I think they're going to be relatively prepared for a raucous venue, if you will. I haven't been in their venue yet, so I'm not sure how many German fans are chanting their chants or cheering for them. Nonetheless, I don't doubt that the Slovak side will have the majority in terms of that sense. But just to piggyback off of what you said, which makes complete sense, is, you know, when a crowd is raucous and when the crowd is built up like that, yes, your adrenaline levels spike. And, you know, all of a sudden, a bunch of things become magnified. When you get a chance, everyone's yelling, whoa, so it makes you grip your stick and react a little different. For Slovakia, they're going to have to try to find a way to use that crowd to their advantage and make the other team feel like that.
Right. I think it comes down in that game to goaltending. Sometimes it's quite simple, because if the Slovakian goalie stays on his head, they will win that game. It really comes down to the goalies.
Which makes Germany's current goaltending problems particularly badly timed. Okay, well, that's going to be a fascinating clash on Wednesday. Also in that group, USA, as we mentioned, taking on Great Britain on Wednesday. Here in Bratislava, meanwhile, Russia taking on the other promoted nation, Italy. Putin took a tumble on the rink the other day. His team unlikely to against the Italians, who are yet to score a goal, and against a Russia side who haven't conceded in their last two matches. That's going to be tough.
They're in for it big time against the Russians, as is any team that comes up against them, and they all know it. It's no secret. I'm going to be interested to see how the Russians stick to a team game. Mm-hmm. They're all so individually skilled. Their power play is a dream come true. It's beautiful. But five-on-five play, is it going to be too easy to be able to dangle around and do what they want out there? Are they actually going to stick to that game plan? Now, I'm not going to doubt that they will. It'll be interesting to see, too, if and how they even manage ice time with all four lines. Are they just going to continue to roll four and keep it even? For Italy, you know, it's their coach has said it from the beginning. It's all about a learning process. And, you know, for these players to be able to step on the same ice as that Russian team, I think is a pretty cool experience for all of them. And I hope that, you know, they at least learn something in terms of defensive zone coverage, because they're going to be playing a lot of it. And if anything, I think it'll just make them better moving forward. For the most part, they seem to be staying positive and understand, you know, what's going on here for this group at this tournament. And obviously, they're just waiting for their grassroots players to hopefully develop and to grow the game of hockey in Italy. And speaking with Tommaso, their team leader there, he's happy with his crew and he's happy with his coach. And they knew the obstacle coming into this tournament. So it's just a matter of not giving up in the 60 minutes of play is what he tells me every day before the game. So as long as his team's putting effort out there and they're following their game plan and really putting up a fight, he's happy.
What we do not know is usually when a team scores 10 goals, then the guy who scored the 10th goal has to buy the pizza and the beer for the whole team. So
can we get in on that?
If the Russians have to do that, maybe they will not score the 10th goal. But if they, they will run just over the Italians. So the question is 10 goals or less.
We have one other game coming up on Wednesday, and it features Switzerland against another side that's been struggling, Norway, who are having an absolutely rotten time of it. What's going on with the Norwegians with the polar bears, Klaus?
I think that they just do not have enough quality players to bark with the big dogs. So, and the team looks now to me a little bit slow. And so, I'm missing something. I'm missing some spirit in that team. But I have no inside look to the dressing room, what happened there. But the Swiss will not lose that game.
They might have to buy some pizza, though.
No, it will not be enough to buy a pizza, but I think they should win about with 3 to 4 goal difference.
All right, then. Looking forward to seeing how all of those games turn out. We'll have the reaction, of course, here on the Totally Hockey Show at the same time tomorrow. So hopefully you'll be joining us then. Many thanks for now, though, to Klaus and Tessa and to Seth. Don't forget, if you've enjoyed the show, to rate and review it. Maybe don't if you didn't enjoy it. Share and subscribe. And, of course, check out the IIHF app, where you can find this and all sorts of other goodies. That's it then. We'll be back here tomorrow. We'll see you then.
The Totally Ice Hockey Show is a Muddy Knees Media production in association with In Front.